Evening to turn to the book of Romans, chapter 3, very familiar verses of scripture. We'll read verses 9 through verse 28, Romans chapter 3. What then? Are we better than they? No, in no wise. For we have before proved, both Jews and Gentiles, that they are all under sin. As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understandeth, there is none that seeketh after God. They are all gone out of the way, they are together become unprofitable, and there is none that doeth good, no, not one. Their throat is an open sepulcher, with their tongues they have used deceit, the poison of asps is under their lips, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery are in their ways, and the way of peace have they not known. There is no fear of God before their eyes. Now we know that what things soever the law saith, it saith to them who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped, and all the world may become guilty before God. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin. But now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ, unto all and upon all them that believe, for there is no difference. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom, referring back to Christ Jesus, God hath set forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood, to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are past through the forbearance of God. To declare, I say at this time, his righteousness, that he might be just and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus. Where is boasting then? It is excluded. By what law? Of works? Nay, but by the law of faith. Therefore we conclude that a man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law. Now there's a lot in this passage. We simply want to take the main thought of the message from verse 24. Being justified freely by his grace. Being justified freely by his grace. For you and I, they're saved. Such words ought to thrill our souls. Amen. Justified freely by his grace. That is a truth, a glorious truth, a truth that needs to grip our hearts. And if it grips our hearts, you cannot help it, but your cup will run over, and you will be compelled to faithfully and zealously serve the Lord. I want to speak this evening on justified freely. Justified freely. Consider, first of all, the blessing of justification. The doctrine of justification deals with the legal side of salvation. It is the act of God as a judge by which he pronounces the guilty sinner to be freed from the penalty of the law and fully restored to God's favor. And that is done freely by his grace. Justified freely by his grace. Justification is an acceptance by which God receives the sinner into his favor and considers us as righteous. Again, it is freely. It is freely by His grace. Justification is God pronouncing the guilty, pronouncing a sinner to be righteous. It is the declaration that the relationship of the sinner to the justice of God has been changed. You'll notice in verse 19, the last three words, guilty before God. We all came into this world guilty before God. Guilty before God. Being justified freely. We that were guilty, justified freely by His grace. This justification, of course, would consist of the remission of sins, would consist of the imputation of Christ's righteousness to our account. Justification simply means to declare not guilty. So again, verse 19, guilty before God, and yet God freely by His grace declares not guilty. What a blessing. What a blessing to be not guilty before God. The best way to understand the meaning of justification is perhaps to consider its opposite, condemnation. What do we mean when we say God justifies? Well, we understand that by looking at the opposite, to condemn. To condemn a person is not a process in which a good man is made bad. And justification is not a process in which a bad man is made good. That's sanctification. There's a difference between justification and sanctification. Justification is simply the sentence of a judge. God being the judge. It is the sentence of God upon one, or condemnation is the sentence of God upon one because he is a transgressor of the law. Because we have transgressed the law of God, condemnation is you're guilty. And you are deserving of punishment. We're condemned already, John 3, verse 18. But you see, justification again is that declaration that we're not guilty. Not guilty. To condemn is to pronounce guilty and worthy of punishment. To justify is simply to declare not guilty. Simply meaning that justice no longer demands punishment from you and I. Justification is the ruling in the favor of the guilty. So it's got to be by grace. How can God rule in our favor any other way but by grace? It's got to be free. So it's God ruling in the favor of the guilty. In light of all this, justification is not a personal change from sin to holiness, but it is a judicial change. It is a judicial change from guilty to innocent, from guilty, from condemnation to no condemnation. We read in Romans 8 and verse 1, there is therefore now, right at this very moment for you and I, there is now therefore no condemnation. No condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. So justification is an acquittal. It's an acquittal from guilt, and it is an acquittal from the punishment that we deserve. Now the author of justification, of course, is God. Verse 24 again. Being justified freely by His grace. He's the author. Romans 8, verse 33, we read, it is God that justifieth. It is God that declares the guilty to be innocent. God is the justifier. And it is when God justifies, it is according to His plan, and it is according to His purpose. Notice in Romans chapter 8, verse 30, again, very familiar verses. Moreover, whom He did predestinate, them He also called, and whom He called, them He also justified. And whom He justified, them He also glorified. This is by plan. This is on purpose. This is according to the purpose of God. And how is it accomplished? Freely, by His grace. Justification is the prerogative of God. It's the prerogative of God. Also, the motivating cause behind justification. What motivates God to declare a guilty sinner innocent? What motivates God to do that? Well, we see it in our text. Grace. Justified freely by His grace. But another motivating cause behind justification is simply the love and the mercy of God. We read in Romans 5 and verse 8 that He commendeth His love toward us while we were yet sinners. He loved us while we were sinners. And it is His love that motivates Him to justify us. In Romans 2 and verses 4 and 5, but God, who is rich in mercy, for His great love wherein He loved us, even when we were dead in sins. So the reason for justification is in God alone. The reason is not in us. You can look from here to eternity to find a reason in ourselves for justification. There is no reason within ourselves. It's in God. If there's any reason in ourselves, it's not grace, it's not free. But we're justified freely by His grace. There is absolutely no reason in ourselves. No reason can be found in our family tree. No reason whatsoever. The reason is in God and God alone. The meritorious cause of justification. What is it that merits this justification? Well, it is the person, the righteousness, and the work of Jesus Christ. He's our merit. Notice in Romans chapter 5, verse 18. Therefore, as by the offense of one, speaking of Adam, judgment came upon all men to condemnation. Even so, by the righteousness of one, Jesus Christ, the free gift cometh upon all men unto justification of life. Again, notice Romans 3, verse 24, being justified freely by His grace. Then notice that next word, through. We're told how we're justified. It is through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. That word through speaks of the channel. The channel of justification is Jesus Christ. There is no merit within you and I. He is the channel for which this blessing flows. And then notice in verse 25, whom, referring back to Christ Jesus, God hath set forth. That is a deliberate act. Something that God did deliberately. Whom God hath set forth to be. That speaks of a purpose. The purpose of setting forth, the intention of setting forth, to be a propitiation, Jesus Christ, in the purpose and plan of God, and out of love and mercy is set forth by God to be a propitiation. What that means is that he has been set forth by God to appease, to pacify, to make peace with, to make amends with the justice of God. You and I cannot appease God. We cannot pacify, we cannot make peace with, and we cannot make amends with the demands of the law. Jesus Christ is our propitiation. He does the work of propitiation by satisfying God's justice. You and I could never do that. In justification, we see Christ in our place. We see Christ living a perfect life of righteousness, just as if we had lived that life ourselves. In justification, we see Christ bearing the full penalty of sin, just as if we had bore it ourselves. And it's freely, and it's by grace. So the merit of justification, the merit for justification, is in Christ. There is no merit within the sinner. There's absolutely nothing in the sinner that would lead or motivate God to pronounce us not guilty. It is all in our propitiation, Jesus Christ. We, the saved, once were identified with those in John 3, verse 18, condemned already. We were once identified with those in Ephesians 2 and verse 3, the children of wrath, even as others. And what that simply means is we were condemned. The children of wrath, even as others. But now, Romans 8, verse 1, there is now, therefore, no condemnation, no conviction. Condemnation is conviction. There is no conviction. We've been pronounced innocent. That's absolutely astounding. That God would pronounce a guilty sinner innocent. That's amazing. It's amazing. Justification means that the dread sentence of the law, thou shalt surely die. And we're not talking about physical death, but eternal death, cannot be executed upon the justified one. Cannot be executed. I will never die spiritually. Never. My soul will leave this body. Unless the Lord comes first, that my soul will leave this body. But I'll never die spiritually. There is no conviction. I am guilty. I have transgressed the laws of God. But there is no conviction. Because Jesus Christ is our propitiation. Amen. That ought to cause us to want to praise Him. That ought to compel us to serve Him. The blessing of justification is inconceivable. Notice in Romans chapter 5, we see some of the results of justification. It says there, therefore, being justified by faith, we have. And just stop there for a moment. Justified by faith, we have. And then he goes on to mention what it is we have as a result of being justified with God. Notice we have peace with God. Reconciliation with God. Notice also, and again, it's this peace, the channel of this is through our Lord Jesus Christ. There is no peace with God any other way than through our Lord Jesus Christ. The second thing that we have is we have access. We have access. There in verse 2. We also see that we have a standing in grace. by whom also we have access by faith into this grace. We have entrance into the favor of God. Wherein goes back to grace, wherein we stand. This is what we have as a result of justification. We also see something else we have is the assurance of a glorious future. Notice there in verse 2, and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Being justified, we have peace with God. Being justified, we have access. Being justified, we have assurance of future glory. And then in verses 3 through 5, it basically just tells us that we have a wonderful life. It goes on to say, and not only so, I mean, isn't that enough? But not only so, there's more. We glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope, and hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. What he's telling us is we have a wonderful life. We have a wonderful life upon this earth. The blessings of justification are beyond words, beyond comprehension. What a blessing. Justified freely by his grace. But then think of the wonder. The wonder of this justification. The amazingness of it is brought out in our condition as a sinner. That God would justify us. In Romans chapter 3, verses 9 through 18, we have a picture of man. And as we look at this picture of man, it is truly a marvel that we are justified in God's sight. In verses 9 through 12, there is a sevenfold picture of man's condition. Notice the last three words of verse 9. All under sin. All under sin. As we've pointed out before, that says much more than all are sinners. All are sinners, but those three words, all under sin, says much more than that. All under sin means all are in the bondage, under the control and dominion of sin. This is our condition. We see also in verse 10, there is none righteous. That is, there is none blameless. None. For emphasis, no, not one. That is, it's like he makes a statement, there is none righteous, and someone asks, what do you mean? I mean, there is none righteous. No, not one. We were all under the control and dominion of sin. None of us were blameless. And thirdly, we lacked spiritual apprehension of truth, verse 11. There is none that understandeth. Man left to himself will never understand the desperateness of his condition. There is none that understandeth. God has to work the miracle of new birth to cause us to understand. But man left to himself will never understand his need. There's none that understandeth. Based upon that, or as a result of that, there is none that seeketh after God. Man does not understand his need. Man does not understand God. And therefore, not understanding his need nor God, why would he seek God? There is none that seeketh after God. Verse 12, it's even worse than the fact that they do not seek God. They are all gone out of the way. That is, they've turned their backs upon God. They've gone in the opposite direction of God. This was all of us. Verse 12, they are together become unprofitable. That means useless. Useless. And then notice also in verse 12, they are void of goodness in God's sight. There is none that doeth good. No, not one. So we have a sevenfold picture in those verses of man's condition. So we must ask, how does this individual that has just been described in verses 9 through 12, how does this individual ever become just in the eyes of a holy God? How does it happen? Well, notice verse 20. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight. It's not by works. It's not by the deeds of the law. And then verse 24, being justified freely by his grace. How does the sinner become justified before God freely? By his grace. And then in verse 13 through 17, there's a picture not only of man's condition, but a picture of man's actions due to his condition. The reason man does these things described in verses 13 through 17, the reason for this is verses 9 through 12. It's because of who he is. But notice his actions. He mentions the sins of their mouths. Their throat is an open sepulcher. With their tongues they have used deceit. The poison of asps is under their lips, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. So we have the sins of their mouth. And then we see the sin of their deeds in verse 15. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery are in their ways. And the way of peace they have not known. And then the explanation of this behavior is stated in verse 18. There is no fear of God before their eyes. That's why they curse. That's why they do the evil deeds that they do. There is no fear of God before their eyes. And the reason there's no fear of God before their eyes, that's stated in verses 9 through 12. And the summary of all this we find in verse 23. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. So in light of man's condition, in light of man's sinful lifestyle, how does such ever become just in the eyes of holy God? Some will say, well, he just has to work hard at it. Read verses 9 through 12. How's he going to do that? He doesn't understand. He doesn't seek God. Guilty. Guilty before God. Again, the answer is, verse 20, it's not by the deeds of the law. And verse 24, justified freely by his grace. You read verses 9 through verse 18 and read it over and over. And in light of what is said in those verses, you ought to thank God every day for verse 20. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, no flesh shall be justified in his sight. It's not possible. It's not possible. due to our condition, it was not possible for you and I to be justified. If justification comes by the deeds of the law, then we're the source of justification and not God. But in light of all of this, how wonderful, how absolutely marvelous and glorious those words, being justified freely, without charge, independent of ourselves, independent of ourselves. Therefore, it is by His grace, the unmerited favor of God. That ought to thrill our souls. Justified freely by His grace. That ought to cause our cup to run over, fill us with praise, and compel us to serve Him. All the blessing that is ours in justification. Not guilty. Not guilty. Jesus Christ is our propitiation. Oh, how we ought to thank Him. Oh, how we ought to praise Him for those wonderful words, being justified freely by His grace. I mean, you can go to bed tonight and sleep on that. Justified freely by His grace. What a wonderful blessing. Thank God for the salvation that we have. And again, that the blessings of they're innumerable. Justification is just one of many. But it ought to give us a desire. It ought to give us that heart for God. I have been justified. Me, a guilty sinner, God has said, not guilty. All because of what Jesus Christ has done on my behalf. That ought to, again, that ought to compel us to serve Him. That ought to give us a heart for God. So if you're here tonight and saved, thank the Lord. Thank the Lord every day. Don't let a day go by without thanking Him. Lord, thank You for saving me. Thank You, Lord, for saving my soul. Thank You, Lord, for justifying me. Again, there should not be a day that goes by we don't thank Him, that we don't think about it. The wonderful salvation that we have. Don't ever lose sight of what God has done for us in saving our souls. Brother Larry, if you'd come and lead us, verse 6.